What's causing all this?
Woo! Put Scooter on the phone, you bird brain.
What do you do, backflips? You jump up there in a silly suit? What do you do?
You go bam! I want you to play there.
All right. Hey, good evening, everybody. Happy New Year. Fast Freddy here from Y103. Good to see everybody. We are back at the Youngstown studio with the Fast Freddy Rocks Youngstown podcast, our first one for 2022. And we are here. My producer, Joe, is here. A little later on, we have a special guest.
Special guest.
The Hoagz is in the house. And he's always interesting. He always has something to say. He's a little chill though today, right now. So
maybe
we'll get a couple of espressos in him and loosen him up here a little bit because he's not drinking. The roads in Youngstown a little slippery today. It's coming down pretty good. So, anyways, that's what's happening. Good to be back. I'm doing great.
Good holiday.
A nice holiday. Yeah. I didn't do a whole lot. Well, I went on my little whirlwind expedition that we're going to talk about here. And I know you were doing some traveling.
I was.
Now you went down to Texas.
Yeah. Saw SpaceX.
I had to go see SpaceX.
I was like 10 feet away from that rocket. Like 10 feet. The one that blows up.
Were you touching yourself? Oh, were you touching yourself?
It was so good.
Everybody knows you are a technology buff or beyond buff. You are Mr. Technology.
I couldn't
believe
how close they let me get to the rocket.
Really can't. It wasn't like, okay, you're going to stand back in this restricted area.
No, there was a rocket and there was a sternly worded sign and that was it. There was no gate or fence or anything. It was crazy.
Now, is that for everybody or did you have a little pool or?
No, it was everybody. You could like drive up on the Starbase. There's nothing stopping you.
No kidding.
Crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah. So did you try to sign up? I know you want a ride. Did you try to sneak in or did you try to take for a little ride?
Taking no applications. The guy eyeballed me when I tried to pull in one of the parking lots. I knew I was in big trouble.
So they were on to you.
Yeah.
They probably figured they knew you might try to jack it and take it for a little ride.
Yep. I'm too vocal on social media. They know when I'm coming. You know, I got to be a little bit more on the down low a little bit.
Right. Yeah, so you had a lot of fun. You went to the Alamo. You weren't like Ozzy. You didn't piss on the Alamo.
But I heard the story. Like, they were saying, like, can I take a picture next to it? And the ranger there, he was real solid. Like, I want to make sure you don't deface it like Ozzy. And I was like, good reference. Love it.
You have the historic significance of the Alamo. And people don't even care about that now. They just want to see where Ozzy took a leak. You know? Hey, where Ozzy pissed, dude? Can I come over there and do it too? Ozzy!
You know? And then Pee Wee's Big Adventure, the basement of the Alamo. You remember that reference?
Yeah, right.
So what'd you do? Tell us about it.
Okay, well, I went on this little whirlwind Amtrak trip. Mm-hmm. And I was going to do a whole travel blog. But when it didn't pan out the way that I thought that it was going to, I didn't want to put Amtrak in a bad light.
Okay.
Because I really want people to get on the train and give it a try.
Something, you were a proponent. You were a defender. Yeah,
and I still am. I still am. I'll go back again. Okay. I'll go back again. But anyways, what happened was, you know, when I was laid off, I was going to go see Jimmy Buffett in Florida. And I figured I had all this time and I was just going to ride the Amtrak and just take a leisurely ride because it takes a long time. If you're going to ride the Amtrak from Youngstown, Ohio to Tampa, Florida, it's probably going to take you about 30 hours. Okay. You could probably drive in 17. You could fly in an hour and 45 minutes. But if you're looking for adventure, now that's what I was out
to
do.
Adventure.
And it cost about, I think the ticket was $160 one way. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that was just for a coach seat. That was just coach seat. They do have these really cool little roomettes you can rent. And those things are really sweet. You know, you have your own little room, a little bed in there. Everything folds down. It's really cool.
It's private. It's there's no other people.
Right. Yeah, you're in your own little roomette and you could just rock out. But anyways, you know, I've rode the train before. I've rode the Amtrak a lot of times to Altoona and to Philadelphia and to New York and to Chicago. Those are nice little runs. Right. If you want to give it a try, that would be a good starter.
5-6 hour.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe a little longer than that, you know. But the whole thing with the train travel and everything is it is very laid back. It is very laid back. If you just want to chill and just see scenery that you would never see any other way, it's definitely the way to go. It's definitely the way to go. Plus, you could bring your own food, you know.
So tell me your setup. Like, what did you go with? Like, and you pictured this how you wanted to go.
Yeah,
down.
Yeah.
So you brought your supplies, right?
Right. Oh, yeah. I brought my supplies.
Okay.
I
was strumming your guitar. I'm sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, no, I didn't. No guitar strumming. I'm not Boxcar Willie. Those are hobos on freight trains that do that, you know. But, well, let's see. It started in Alliance. But, okay yeah, let's start with supplies first.
Okay.
So I brought a blanket and a pillow,
okay,
which is a must,
right? On a 30-hour drive,
yeah. Train so ride. I brought a blanket and a pillow,
got it,
and I brought a backpack,
okay,
and I brought like four bottles of Evian. I brought some little mini fireballs,
hotel
sized, right? The little fireball minis,
right?
And then I brought some pizza, you know.
Okay.
I brought like four pieces of pizza, and I brought two Subway pepperoni subs, which has meat and cheese on it, you know, because I, you know, you don't really have a refrigerator or whatever. And so that's what I had. Those were my supplies.
Reading material? Did you bring anything to read?
The phone.
The phone? Okay.
Phone, yeah. Really didn't need any real reading material.
Got
but
it.
You spend a lot of time on the phone online. Now, I'll tell you one thing. If you have your laptop, the Wi-Fi is a little slow on there.
Is it?
Because I thought I was going to be able to get a lot of work done. That was one of my things. I thought, okay, I'll just flip open my laptop and get some work done from work, because I have, you know, 24 hours to sit here on this train, and yep, I could sit there but the Wi-Fi was really, really slow. And for what I had to do and my applications, it was like, you know, you would push a button and then something would start to happen. And then 5 minutes later, then it would enter, you know. And if it was something you had to do 100 times, it was like, forget it. But that was my good intention.
Okay.
So that's what I had, you know, laptop, phone, my little accommodations there. And they have a club car on the train too. So you could buy beer on the train and you could buy food on there too. You know, they have a little microwave that they cook, you know, burgers and stuff like that. So they have that. Now, if you get the roomette, they have a dining car on the train too. And the food's really good in the dining car. And so you get the roomette and the dining car, you're living large. Mm. The rest of us are out in the back. It's like
heating up some ravioli.
Yeah, right. No, you're bringing food from home, you know? So, you know, you got the food from home. But first off, I got to say, it's a really laid back situation. And the scenery is really good because you see stuff you would never see. You see a side of the country that you would never see. You go through some inner city neighborhoods. You go through some hillbilly haulers. And, you know, it's just amazing.
Now, was it easy to keep track of, like, where you were at? Did they mark things?
Oh, no, they have an app.
Okay.
Yeah, they have an app. And you know what else is nice, too? You know, you take some pictures out the window, and then your pictures always show. And if you really want to, if you got a Waze app or if you got MapQuest or anything, you just log on and you see how fast you're going, and there's enough, you know, they have a train tracker app. So you kind of know where you're at. And, so it was a lot of fun, but
now from a scenery standpoint, what was your favorite leg of the trip?
Well, actually I didn't get a chance to see a lot from Washington, D.C. to almost Florida because it was nighttime. And, okay, you know, that's the one bad thing about the Amtrak during the day, you know, is that, or, you know, in the winter months, because you don't get as much daylight. Right. So like when it gets dark at 9 o'clock and it starts at 6, then it's really because you're seeing all kinds of stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I like going through the cities. I like seeing factories and steel mills and things like that. And, you know, that's rail yards. I find rail yards really interesting. And you go through a lot of train yards and stuff like that. And then you're out in the mountains and, you know, it's just like you're almost exploring or whatever.
Right.
But the scenery is fantastic and the laid back thing is fantastic. So let me just get into the story here. And, you know, I don't want to put anybody to sleep or whatever. But if you're thinking about doing it, I would say do it. Oh, now the whole reason behind this, too. The whole reason behind this is I had this ticket to see Jimmy Buffett before COVID. And when I was laid off, I said, I'm just going to buy this train ticket and just mosey along. And whatever comes my way is cool, you know? So then COVID hit, and then they gave you like a year to use it. So I was down to like my final day or two, and I had to use it. So I says, okay, well, this is my plan. I'm going to get on this Amtrak train at 3 o'clock in the morning in Alliance, Ohio. I'm going to get off in Tampa. I'm going to go down to Clearwater Beach. I'm going to have a couple of mojitos on the beach. I'm going to stay there for a day, and I'm going to get on a plane and fly back. So that was my plan. So I said, okay. So I get to the train station at like, I get there at midnight, even though the train was supposed to be there at 3. I got there at midnight because I was like, oh, I don't want to fall asleep. I don't want to miss it or whatever. So in Alliance, let's see, can I look this up here? I'll show you a couple pictures. And if, you know, if you're just listening to this on a podcast, it's not going to make much sense. But anyways, in Alliance, you get the train. Okay, so you pull up, and it's like under this bridge in Alliance, and it's like by the rail yard, and it's in the construction yard of the Norfolk Southern Railroad is where you get on this train. Okay. Now, there's no real official station there. Okay, it looks more like a restroom area at a public park. And there's like, it's like a little pavilion. Okay. And there's some benches in there. There's no heater or anything. And so you pull into this construction yard, and then you probably.
All right, let's try it now.
Okay, we back on?
We'll see here.
All right. I hope we're back on. Boy, this is the first time anything like this has happened.
And it went out big time.
Yeah. Right, okay, we're back on. Yeah. Okay, we had a little power outage here at the Youngstown Studios. That's never happened before. Nope. So that's the first time. So, anyways, it's midnight. I'm in Alliance. I'm the only car there, and I'm thinking, I don't really want to fall asleep in this parking lot down by the train tracks at midnight under the bridge in Alliance.
Right. By the pavilion, by the restroom.
Right, yes. So anyways, they got this little sign there. Oh, yeah, let's see if we can get that up. I got a picture of it. And,
if you want to, let me bring up this up, and you tell me where it is, and I'll put it up on the screen.
Okay.
So this is your what's on your iPhone right now?
Yeah, boy, I hate to see what date it pop is? Up. No. Probably around the 21st, maybe.
21st.
Yeah. Now there could be a lot of goofy stuff that could pop up on this phone here.
All right. Well, I won't put it up on the screen until you've had a
until
chance.
Until we preview it. So anyways, you walk down this long, long like platform to get to this little like pavilion, and it's not very big, and there's like 4 benches there. And so I get there at midnight. Because I said, well, you know, I've rode the Amtrak before in Cleveland or Pittsburgh, and you could usually sleep in the station. You know, you could nod off in there, and, you know, they'll make sure they wake you up when the train's coming or whatever. So I get there, and there's nothing there, you know, and I really didn't want to fall asleep from midnight to 3 in this parking lot in Alliance. And so the next thing you know, I get this message on my phone that the train is going to be 2 hours late. Ugh. And it's not going to get there until 5:30 in the morning. Ugh. So now it's like, what do? Do you drive all the way back from Alliance and then risk falling asleep and then having to drive back? So I just sit there, you know, I just sit there. And I call up Amtrak because I had to meet another train in Washington, D.C., at 1 o'clock, and it looked like, the train I was supposed to be on, the Capital Limited, was supposed to go to Washington, D.C. and get there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then the other train was supposed to leave at 3 o'clock to take you the rest of the way. So I call up the Amtrak, and it took like a long time to get through to customer service. And they said, well, if you miss the train, there's another one leaving at 7 o'clock at night and you could just take that one. So now I'm thinking, this is putting a damper on my whole thing.
A little bit.
Because
you know you got a big ride ahead of that wait, right?
Right. And I'm thinking, I only have so many hours on the beach. You know, I only have X amount of hours and X amount of daylight to be on the beach. So in my mind, I had this thing like planned out to the minute to get the most out of it. So now I'm thinking, okay, if I don't get there until 7, I'm not going to get there the next day until 5 instead of noon. And it's going to be getting dark and I'm going to be getting to the beach and it's going to be getting dark. So that kind of took away from my wanting to make this travel blog, because now I'm not thinking about being entertaining. I'm not thinking about doing the travel blog. I'm thinking about getting to this train on time to get down to Florida so I have more time on the beach. So that's where my mindset was for a while, you know? And right. So it wasn't like, oh, I want to film this and hey, here's the station, here's this, blah, 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 you know? And so now the whole time you're on the train, you're just worried about, are you going to make this connection? Right. Because you're following the time and the estimated thing on the app and everything. So it finally looked like we were going to make it and we get to Rockville, Maryland, which is almost to Washington, D.C. You're almost there. And it looked like, okay, we're going to have 15 minutes to spare. The train just stops dead.
Oh no!
It just stops. And they go, oh, we got to wait for some other trains to pass and do some work down the line. We probably sat there just long enough to not make the connection. Mm. The connection left Washington, D.C. at 3:04 and we pulled in at 3:08. Mm. And I'm like, you guys couldn't have waited for 4 minutes. I had to wait from midnight until 5:30 in the morning in my car in Alliance. And you guys couldn't wait 5 stinking minutes to get on this train. So now what do I have to do? I have to sit in the train station in Washington, D.C. for 4 hours because I had all this stuff. I had my pillow, my blanket, my laptop, my backpack. So I didn't want to go walking around Washington, D.C. looking like a homeless guy with all this stuff. So now I got to sit in this train station for 4 hours. And 7 o'clock, the train comes and then, you know, then it was running like about 50 minutes late. Oh, and then on top of that, so the train that I had to take, they had the Silver Meteor and the Silver Star. The Silver Star goes all the way to Tampa. The Silver Meteor stops in Orlando, and then they put you on a bus and then take you to Tampa.
Mm.
So, but it was still a whole lot of fun.
It was an adventure.
It was an adventure. And I'll tell you, you know when it really hit me, though, that I should have been filming the whole time? When I got to the beach and I drank that mojito and I was sitting there with my Hawaiian shirt on in the sunshine and it felt so good. And the weather was sunny and 78 degrees with just a cool breeze blowing. And I was sitting there on the beach and it was like, wow, that was worth everything. And then I thought, if I would have filmed this whole thing, right. It would have been like, victory is mine. Here it is. It all paid off. And then I felt stupid that I didn't tape it, but I didn't want to do something that was going to make train travel in a negative light.
Right.
And I think, you know what, when you do travel, you got to expect the unexpected on stuff like that, especially now with airplanes. You know, my son was flying down to Tampa the same time, which, yeah, but like I said, I didn't want to fly. I was out for the adventure and it was great. It was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, if you like edibles, okay, here's a tip for you. Okay. If you like edibles, if you're a fan of the edibles, the Amtrak is probably the thing for you.
All right.
Because I think you could just sit there and zone out big time.
But now, were the people cool? Like, I wouldn't want to be around people. If I'm zoned out, I don't want people that are annoying or whatever. How were they?
You know, people just go about their business.
Okay, leave
there was no alone. There was no real idiots there or anything. And the seats, now here's the bad part, though. If you don't travel with somebody, you're probably going to end up sitting next to a stranger. Mm-hmm. And these trains are full. These trains are sold out. There's usually not an empty seat on them.
Okay, I mean, so a hot blonde next to you or a fat guy named Teddy. Which one?
Well, roll the dice, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to end up with, okay? So you're probably better off taking, I'll tell you, take a travel companion along with you, because it'll make it, it'll make it a lot easier, you know?
All right, well, here's your pictures. Here's your mouse. It's in chronological order here, so that if you pick out the date where you think it is, we might be in good shape.
Oh, we're way down here. 20, maybe 17. Let me see what's up here. Yeah, we don't want to put these on the big screen.
No, I'm not going to put them up there until you've verified them. Ah, stupid iPhone.
Okay. Oh, that's not me.
All right. Well,
okay. Anyways, that's the whole story. And if you're thinking about going on Amtrak, it's a lot of fun. It really is. But I would not. Well, you know what? I would not go anywhere on the Amtrak if you absolutely positively had to be there somewhere on time. Oh, and like I was saying about my son, he flew down and his plane was supposed to leave at 7:30 in the morning. And he didn't get there until like 8 o'clock that night because there was delays at the airport.
Right.
So right now, travel anywhere is a little iffy. But with Amtrak, you gotta be careful.
My itinerary, right on time.
Right. Well, you're the captain, man. You're the engineer. You had too. Your
it's
own
like,
rig,
I'm gonna take
man.
A piss break. Nope, we're behind.
But like I say, it was a lot of fun. And it probably the nice, now they have some trips where you can go out west and stuff and go through the Rockies and stuff like that. And if you really have some adventure, I mean, you could probably do that for $500, maybe less, or sometimes they run these specials, $199 to anywhere you want to go. Stuff like that.
Yeah, you can get on
in Alliance. You can get on in Pittsburgh. You can get on in Cleveland and just sit on there and just go and just look out the window. And like I say, if you're a fan of edibles, just get a buzz on.
The whole time,
you know, what's really nice about the train is it has this like motion to it. You know, you're rolling down the tracks and it's not like it's crazy. You know, they got good suspension and everything, but it has enough that you're kind of like just rocking along and the wheels are clickety clacking. And, you know, you hear the whistle blows all night long, you know, in the distance. That's you can just cool. hear it like, you know, and you're just, you know, and things are just flying by. When it goes fast, sometimes it goes 20 miles an hour. When it goes 80 miles an hour, it's cool.
Good.
You know, because you're sitting there and you're just seeing things going, boom, 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 you know? And like I say, some of these people are doing the edibles and stuff, man. They're just sitting there and it's like kind of, and then all of a sudden a passenger, or a freight train will pass by. And then you'll hear the whistle, and then all of a sudden, you know, and some people like to stand in the vestibules between the cars because they're not as soundproof. And it's almost like you're riding the rails because you can look down and see the track and the wheels, and you can really hear the train clicking along. And then like, if another train passes you by and stuff, it's kind of like, whoo, because you're like looking out there. And I mean, this other freight train is flying by you like at less than probably an arm's length.
No kidding.
And then, like I say, the scenery is cool, man. You go through some of the places in Pennsylvania. There's so many people that live right next to the tracks. It's like the Blues Brothers. Some of these people, there was a whole town that the train was just going right through these people, like almost touching their houses. And that's the part that I like, you know, the scenery, you can't be beat. So I don't know. That's me just,
Let me read some of these comments. Just,
oh, we got comments.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's happy that you're back here.
Oh, okay. So. Hey, Big Rich, what's going on, man? My buddy Big Rich, he's been a little under the weather here, so I hope he gets better. Yeah, Jaybird, he went down to Nashville and down south, and he was down at the Jack Daniel's distillery. And then he was, you know, I guess they let you sample all the Jack. And he was saying, oh, well, the guide said this and the guide said that. And I'm like, Jaybird, when did you ever need a guide to show you how to drink Jack. You must be losing it, man. You need somebody to help you drink Jack. Pamela Miller, she lives down by Beloit. The train went right by her house. She just wanted to hop on. And, okay, what does a trip cost? Like my ticket was $160. But you could find discounts and stuff like that. I mean, with like Spirit and some of these airlines, it's really cheap to fly. But hey, there's Dave Price. What's up? Oh, yeah, man. I want Freddie's take on the blue streak at Conneaut Lake Park. Boy, did you hear the news? Everybody thought it was a fire. Well, here the fire was with a pile of construction debris. In the meantime, they were tearing it down. Now, the blue streak is one of the most historic roller coasters around. And that was like the centerpiece to this day that everybody still held on to Conneaut Lake Park. Now, Conneaut Lake Park back in the day was like right up there with Idora Park for a lot of people, especially for people in the Pittsburgh area. That was like their little place that they would go. And they had a great little amusement park up there. And the park has been going downhill progressively, you know. And then when the beach club burnt down a few years ago, that was a bad sign. Right. And then the last time I was up there, they tore down all the decks and everything. And now when they did that, that was one thing that a lot of people were holding on to as like the last, well, it's still here or whatever. And then when they start tearing that down, it was really sad. And I remember going to Conneaut Lake Park as a kid. I remember taking my kids there, and we just always used to have a great time. And I thought it was coming back when we started with the Bikes, Blues, and Brews a few years ago and everything. And we really had that going on. And then the beach club burnt down, and that just put a damper on it. We had the perfect setup up there, especially on the weekend. We had bands, we had our bikes, we had beers. And the way it was set up is, you know, that have like maybe an acoustic guy or something going on in the ballroom, and maybe a wedding happening in there or some other kind of music. And then out on the lawn, you know, would have like a great tribute band, or, you know, we had people in there like Eddie Money, David Allen Coe, Poison, Buck Cherry. You know, we had a lot of great bands out in the yard there. And then you had the beach club, and the beach club had the Down Under, which was right on the beach. You know, they had a walkway where you come down along the beach. So there'd be girls down there playing volleyball, and guys and girls in bikinis, and all the boats would be tied up all the way along there. And, you know, people on pontoon boats partying, and all motor boats and everything. And then you had like a long patio on the beach club that went out into the water overlooking all this. And below that, you had another bar on the beach with a DJ and people dancing in the sand. And then you had another band inside the beach club playing or whatever. And then they had like another hall attached to the beach club, and they would have something else going on in there, like these oldies or whatever. And it was really starting to pick up a lot of steam. And I still think that maybe some people were a little jealous about that. Or I think when they started the beach club up, I think they thought it was going to be a failing proposition. And then every year it kept getting bigger and bigger, and they were trying to get, you know, Skinner and people like that. And, you know, there were some big plans for that. And then the next thing you know, it burns down. Still a mystery to this day. Yeah. So, you know, and Conneaut Lake Park, man, you know, you used to have the bumper cars in there. One of my favorites was the Hell Hole, you know, where you spin around and you're, that's one of my favorites.
What was the scramble that was inside the Ultimate Trip? That was.
Yeah. They had that, and they had, you know, the Blue Streak, of course. I rode that 96 times in one day. One time. Did you really? We were doing a radio station promotion when 106 also started broadcasting on 96 in Pennsylvania for a short period of time. And so to do that, they had a Bob Dylan concert, and we come out there. But Conneaut Lake Park, the history of that place was just awesome. And this is kind of like the final nail in the coffin, as far as
really
I'm concerned.
Those guys, I really want to be now, something together.
Now, here's what I think. My personal, and this is just, I have nothing about this or whatever. I think They just want to turn that whole area into high-end condos and houses on this badass lake is what I think this is all about and what's going to happen. I mean, you look at all these other little lakes around here. I mean, you look at Roaming Shores, you look at Pine Lake, you look at Evans Lake, you see what's around those lakes. Not a bunch of bikers and people having fun. It's people with big money. And, you know, when you look at it, why it's advantageous to them too, because one of the biggest thorns was the school board was always complaining because they weren't getting their money from the property tax. So now, you know, that lakefront property has got to be worth unbelievable money. Yeah. And you know,
was it city owned? Like did the city,
you know what? They had like a trust or something. Okay. There was like some kind of crazy, I don't even know about that, but that is my prediction. Yeah. I really think that that's what they want.
Yeah.
And you know what? And like say for the school board, how advantageous is that for them instead of having this park and a bike night and, you know, bands playing out there. You know, if somebody can afford to build a badass crib on that lake, they're not going to have any problem paying their taxes.
Nope,
you know, that's going to be guaranteed money.
Yep.
Now this is all speculation on my part, but it just seems like that's the way it's going.
A lot of fishy things end to end.
You know what? You know what? Like I say, I wouldn't be surprised if something mysteriously happens to the hotel because that's also a tinderbox. You know, it's a 150-year-old wooden building.
Mm-hmm.
That the welding torch. We were in here and we were trying to. We were doing some remodeling and.
A spark
and down it went. Oh, sorry. You know, that's my philosophy on it. I could be totally wrong, but you know, when you look at the property and when you see a lot of people from Pittsburgh that have money, like the vacation up there, and I could see some guy from the Steelers or somebody from the Penguins or something building a summer place up there, you know? All right. So anyways, what else we got going here before we go? Let's see. Yeah, Dave Price seems to agree with me with the condos. My buddy Jeff, let's see. When I was 8 years old, we were going to Montana on an Amtrak to see my aunt and uncle. We got to ride to Dayton to pick them up the first train. Then we stopped in Chicago but missed the connection to Minneapolis. We were supposed to change trains. They flew us to, You know, it's crazy. The train thing isn't the most dependable, but it's a lot of fun. Let me go through these next couple of comments we have up there. And then we have our special guest for tonight, the one and only, the legendary Hoags. I'm not used to seeing Hoags here without a bottle of Crown in front of them. So I thought we were going to have the full Hoags, you know, debriefing. I thought we were going to have a debriefing, but
I've been buying Crown lately.
I know you have.
They took salted caramel.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Old Smoky Salted Caramel.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting that tattoo. It costs $21.34.
Really?
So I'm doing 2134. If they change the price,
yeah.
I'm living with 2134.
Okay. Yeah, the salted.
Crown vanilla.
Yeah.
Running $26.68. Now, I'm probably going to tattoo that on me, too.
Yeah.
Because of the history behind it.
Yeah.
But $26, you're saving $5.
Now, see, there are some people out there that when it comes to Crown, they're purists and they said, don't screw up my Crown. Leave it just the way it is.
It's depressing. Like I live life in with Crown.
Yeah.
I like vanilla.
The vanilla's good.
Vanilla's three syllables.
Yeah.
Vanilla.
Right.
Now I'm cool in the vanilla stage.
Yeah.
But some nights I go to the
la la. You're in la la land. Stage. Yeah. You're like vanilla la 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 land.
I got hurt at the house one time just dancing around. You know, you trip.
Yeah.
Pull muscles and shit.
Yeah.
Stuff happens.
Especially with Crown,
We're doing okay.
Yeah. The Jaeger does that to a lot of people, too.
I can't drink Jaeger anymore. I just want to throw up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
What, is it the taste, or do you have a bad experience with it?
Back in the day with Jaeger,
yeah.
They gave us a bottle at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Jaeger machine.
Yeah, right.
It was just old school, have at it. You know, I couldn't even make it home. So, but I'm not promoting alcoholism whatsoever.
Right.
Like, I'm part of the 13th step. 13 steps? There's 13 steps, right?
I didn't know the 13th.
Is it 12 or 13?
I think it's only 12, so you took it one step further.
13, you go there to meet women. That's the 13th step. I've gone to a lot of. I used to go to cystic fibrosis. What's that disease called? Cystic fibrosis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
So I'd see those things in meeting at Mount Carmel Church. People that are sick with whatever, and I'm like, I can go meet somebody there. What the hell? I used to meet them at calling hours. I told you too. Best place to meet females, calling hours.
Really?
You know how I found that out?
How?
There's so many churches or funeral homes in Niles.
Yeah.
So I pull in the lot. I go inside the building. I'm running late. I'm in line. I already signed the book.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I can see the body, and it ain't the guy I'm supposed to see. So I'm like, shit, I'm in the wrong spot. So now I'm like, I'll play it out. Just say, pay my condolences, et cetera, et cetera. I did that. But then I started mingling because funeral homes got two things. Nice water, those big water jug things.
Yeah.
A smoking room.
Right.
And good candy, good mints and stuff like that. Right? Mm-hmm. And women are vulnerable. They just lost Uncle Ted, whoever he is, right? So if I slide in there and say, hey, you know, sorry to hear about Uncle Ted, you know, he's a good dude, one of my dear friends. Oh, how did you know? Oh, you know, we used to do this and I'd see him here and we'd work out, blah, 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 blah. And that would turn into what? A little water at the water stop, breakfast later on. Nobody knows I don't know that guy. You know what I mean? Ain't no shame in that game, Ted or Fred. It's Fred, right?
Right. Last time I checked.
And we live 6 doors apart.
I know.
I was your paper boy when I was a kid.
Not mine. I didn't live there then.
You weren't there?
No.
I got that route back when I was in my 40s.
I remember when you had it there. Yeah, you were my paper boy then. I do remember that part.
That's how I knew I came full circle in life.
It started out as a paper. You know, isn't it amazing on how the whole paper boy thing changed too? Remember, before it was a paper boy was like some kid on the block that was trying to make a couple extra bucks to buy a bicycle or something. And now it's turned into a way that people, grown adults, make a living.
Survive.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I'm not going to say make a living, but, you know.
They're up at 4:30 in the morning out there. In the cold, I'm like, nah, man, bump that. I'm cool.
Now, were you able to fold the paper? You could fold it and toss it on the porch.
But that was a novelty. But I found out there were people on my routes that I had when I was 12 years old.
Right.
So it reminded me how relevant is all this shit. You know what I mean, what have I done in life? I mean, I got my paper out back, man.
Yeah.
Life's technically, you know, I pulled the plug.
Right.
So
right.
It was complete.
So. Getting back to the funeral homes for a good place to pick up women. Yeah, that's highly recommended by the Hoags.
Very much. Very much so. Just put something decent on, stand in line, mingle for a little bit, communicate, let them know you feel bad about the deceased individual. We're good friends.
And then they feel that they have a connection with you off the bat.
It's
not like you have to try to introduce yourself and prove yourself or put on some kind of a first image or whatever. You already got something in common to begin with, even though you really don't.
Because of the guy that's in the box.
Yeah.
Right? You don't got to know the guy in the box or the lady in the box. So it is what it is. So we're enjoying life. Am I rocking a little bit?
Yeah, you're rocking a little bit. I think you needed some crown, man.
I used to do that in the prison a lot.
Yeah.
And people would stay away from me. They'd see that and they'd be like, just like sniffing Sharpies.
Yeah.
You ever sniff Sharpies?
Yes. Yeah, so sniffing Sharpies and glue, airplane glue. And
No glue.
No, you were never a glue hit? You never sniffed glue?
Never did glue.
Models? No, glue. Did you used to make models?
You ever do dry erasers?
What's that?
Dry erasers. Huff dry erasers. That'll mess you up.
What's
erasers. You'll forget. Wow, who's that? Blow your mind.
Okay.
So we're doing okay, though.
Yeah, that's good.
You guys must have been bored to call me up and say, Hoags, you want to come in?
Yeah, Viking Jim must not have been available tonight. So we've now lowered it one more step. You know, usually when we got the Viking Jim, it was like, oh, shit, we have nothing left.
He's the pinnacle of insanity.
Right.
Actually.
No, you guys have a lot in common. You guys got a lot in common.
We got to get some more tattoos, Fred.
I do. I, you know what? I really do. Let me say hi to Lori Mercer. Hi, Lori Mercer. And my friend Lizzie. Lizzie wants to drink some Fireball. Lizzie likes that Fireball. Makes her crazy. Yeah.
Crazy since 66.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lizzie
no, you know what? I really do need some more ink. If there's one thing that I think is lacking in my life, it's ink. It's tattoos. I really do not have enough tattoos.
Well, remember when Denny was on from Nobility?
Yes.
You got to get a hold of Denny.
Denny's a badass, man. And he's got that band going. Yeah, he's got a lot going on. And if you follow him on like Facebook and now TikTok and all that stuff, and he's got some good music out there. And the way he's been showing off his tattoos with... with the music going along with it. You know, he'll show like the drawing, and then he'll show the finished tat, and then he's got this metal music blasting and stuff. He definitely got a lot of attitude and a lot of style.
Yeah, he's good people.
Yeah, and that's his shop is what on Mahoning Avenue across from Giant Eagle,
exactly,
in Austintown. So, you know, you've got a lot of interesting artwork here. So
words and numbers, right?
Words and numbers. Well, you got the chain link. What's with the chain link?
Chain link, because I work in a prison.
Right.
Sometimes I'm on the inside, sometimes I'm on the outside.
Okay.
My brain.
Right.
So it's like metaphor.
So working in the prison, you could still be in a prison.
Right.
You're in your own prison.
You're on lockdown like everybody else.
Right.
So for literally decades.
So that's the chain link. What else you got on there?
I started
words and numbers. Okay.
You know what this is? 2-4-8-5-1.
2-25-1.
2-4-8-5-1.
2-4-8-5-1.
That's my weather identification number. Like, me, people are identified by zip code.
Yeah.
You live in the 330.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Sit down. Until you put your weather ID number on you, because we all got one.
Well, where did you get that?
I was watching some TV one day, and it explained the process and how people are all identified by their weather identification number.
Now, do I have the same one as you?
Yes.
Oh, so we're the same.
We're the same on that.
What is that? What's our weather identification number?
24851.
24851.
Yeah. And then that's 11 South.
Okay.
Heading to the winery.
All right.
Because I was coming back from the winery.
Uh-huh.
With a female.
Yeah.
And some things happened going 60 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah?
It was euphoric.
Right.
So I said, I don't think I'm going to tattoo that on me, because that was the best beat.
Oh, this isn't radio or anything. You can say whatever you want.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Know. Oh, you just said it.
You know what it was. I know
yeah.
what it was.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
Kind of, you know,
so 11 South, 11S.
But I figured if I see her on the street, because we didn't stay married.
Uh-huh.
So I figured if I seen her on the street, she'd be like, after the divorce, she'd be like, oh, that mother got that tattooed on him. I hate him.
Well, or I thought maybe she would like it. Like, it would have married. A soft spot in her heart.
If she would have stayed married. Now, this one, 28 mph.
228 mph.
Miles per hour.
Okay.
That's the rate of speed of ejaculation.
Okay.
When it's flying, at 28 miles an hour. You can Google that, Fred.
So when did you decide to get the 28 miles an hour? What, you know, what made you think that? You're sitting there and you walk into a tattoo shop and you go, the speed of ejaculation is 28 miles an hour. I need that tattooed on my arm.
I'm all over the board. I'm like 12 steps away from a group home. Now, I went to school, graduated from college, but, you know, some days I got it, some days I don't. Like, I like to say I sleep on the edge of the bed.
Yeah.
Every night, right on the edge. Do it sometime. So there's always a chance of doing what? You fall out, right? Pull your pants down, slide
right
on the ice.
That's always been your motto right there. I was going to get in the motto of pull down your pants and slide on
absolutely.
The ice.
Absolutely. You gotta live it. Every
right.
day.
Every right.
day. Do something different. Like Joey does that. He travels around the world now.
Mm-hmm.
People say to me, what do you got going on now, Hoogs? And I'm like, just out walking the earth, man. You know, walking the earth means doing my thing. Right.
So how long have you been out of the prison?
I'm still there.
Oh, okay.
I retired from there.
Yeah.
In 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back there for a few months, and then I bounced to another prison because I wanted to check that out.
Yeah.
Private prison in Youngstown.
Yeah.
So I did that for a hot minute. And then I bounced back to like LeBron James left Cleveland and went to the Lakers.
Right.
So, you know, I get to bounce around prisons once in a while, say hello to some different people. But all the bad guys end up knowing you because I've been in so many damn prisons.
It's like, right.
They're like, hey, Hoogs, what's going on? You remember me from wherever? And I'm always thinking, man, did I pepper spray you? Was there a problem that we had to be involved with?
Right.
There's been some sketchy times.
Oh, really? I mean, you have come across some people and said, hey, asshole, what, you know.
There was a kid that after 9/11, I don't want to get into religion.
Yeah.
He converted to a certain religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of extreme. And the FBI came to see him.
Uh-huh.
And there was a little investigation. And that's pretty big when the FBI comes to see you.
Yeah.
In the state prison.
Yeah.
And they relocated him. And I ended up seeing him in another prison one day. I knew he was coming.
Yeah.
I didn't know when.
Yeah.
And I caused discomfort in his little career. So when I saw him in that hallway and he says, hey, you're Hoogs. And I'm like, yeah, I'm Hoogs. And he goes, you remember me? And I'm like, yeah, I remember you. You're blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking this guy's going to try to stab me right here. But it worked out.
Uh-huh.
It worked out. But you never really know. That's what's kind of cool about working in there. That's the adrenaline dopamine factor. Like working out on the street, you never really know how it's going to play out. And you're only as good as how you deal with it the next time, not the last time. Right? CEOs, that's a tough business. I ain't a CEO no more. I'm working in the mailroom. So I'm cool with that. But the guys that are working on the front lines in the housing units with the inmates, the guys and the women, not everybody could do that job.
I would say.
It takes a special kind of individual. And you can lose your mind. Right? And there's been a lot of death out there. A lot of people just, it stresses you out. And it, you take it home with you. Things happen at the house. You start drinking, doing crazy shit. Because you don't want to deal with that all day long and then go deal with some other dumb stuff on the street. So you're trying to rationalize a little bit of insanity. So, but I look at it like artwork. You know what I mean? People say to me, everything cool, Hoax? And I'm like, everything's okay till it ain't okay. Because that's how quick things go south.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when I got carjacked. I got assaulted in July. I got assaulted in the prison in July, which means somebody punched me in my face.
Yeah.
And then laid on the ground.
Yeah.
And things happened after that, but it worked out. Then I get carjacked the next month. So I'm jumping out of planes a month after that. So that's kind of gives you a script. Do you want
that's an ebb and flow there. That's kind of crazy.
Sometimes it works out for me and sometimes it don't. Sometimes I eat the bear. Sometimes the bear eats me. So
yeah. What happened with the carjacking? That was weird, man. That made the papers.
That dude got 19 years. I was embarrassed by that because I got caught.
Yeah. I mean, now let me tell you.
So did what's his name? Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Things happen.
Right.
All right. But it's the experience that stays with you.
Yeah.
Because that got so personal on the ground that I was actually whispering in not in his ear, but this close to him, sweating, bleeding the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I'm going to kill you today. You're going to fucking die. And he's like, give me the keys. So it got that nobody was out there saying, hey, let's help that dude. So I learned from that experience, nobody's saving you. Okay. You got to save yourself. So now wherever I go, I try to be a little more strategic about what I'm doing, who I see, Kodak, distance, space,
because
it's a bad place out here. Anything can happen at any given time.
Right.
It ain't like when we were young guys where people played their position, stayed in their lane.
Yeah.
But now all bets are off.
You know, I was thinking of that the other day because I know what it was. I saw on the news, they arrested these two kids in Boardman. One was 17, one was 14, and of course they had guns. And they said, well, we need these guns to protect ourselves. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, what a dangerous place for kids to grow up now, knowing these people were out there. Now, when we grew up, if you had a beef with somebody or something, you'd get out, there'd be a fist fight, and chances are either you never talk to the guy again, or 3 weeks later, you're sitting in a bar drinking or whatever. You know, now you would have to think that, you know, even if somebody pulled up alongside you and you flipped them off or something, there's a chance that somebody might pull out a gun and start shooting.
It's a little bit more uncivilized. And you know what? There's a lot of sketchy people out there, but I believe this, there's an acceptable level of fucked up. I believe that. That's one of my mantras, right? Once I become unacceptable, I'm not employable. Who wants to be with Hoax if I'm over the top fucked up?
Right? Yeah.
So everybody out there is defective. Me and Joey were talking about earlier, you know, 10% of any organization are good people. They're about the right shit. Everybody else is in the way. They're just standing in line waiting for crumbs. I don't want to be around those people. That's why I isolate, right? I'm a minimalist. If I don't have it, I don't need it, right?
Right.
Less is more. Less is more.
Right. So when you're working in a prison, what are some of the, you know, what's the mindset that you have to have when you're going in there? I mean, is there a certain mindset that you have to have when you go in there?
You can't be afraid. You can't show fear. It's like being in an aquarium. And when you go look in a shark tank, what do you see? The eyes going left and right. That's all prison is. Everybody's looking. What can I eat? What can I eat? What can I eat? What can I eat? Who's going to get me if I'm working there? How's he going to get me? What direction is he going to come? What am I going to do to counter that, right? If I'm on top range, am I on the bottom range? Am I in a cell? Okay, because like I said, it can go 0 to 60 so quick. And usually it's those guys physical with each other because that's how they solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they sit down and mediate. Mediation isn't a real good tool.
Right.
That's not the part of their success story.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to like, I got really good at rerouting neurological traffic. That's why on my business card at one point it said, master of critical speech and persuasive argumentation.
Right.
And some of the smartest things I said in the prison were the things I never said, if that makes any sense. If you say hello to a dude in a prison, you walk by a dude, you've been down 25, 30 years, and you say, hey, what's up, man? That could be a bad day. And you just lit the match because you just said hello to the guy. So you learn down the road, there's guys you say hello to, there's dudes you don't. You stay in your lane, I'll stay in my lane. You don't break the rules, we won't have no issues.
Right.
So it's a very, very artistic environment every day. And like I said, the people that work there, hats off to them. Definitely to the 10% of them that are there grinding. And they're working because once you mess with the inside of a prison, the money, and it's all about money, because you know they're doing drugs, they're gambling, anything they could do to make money, they're doing it. Extortion.
Mm-hmm.
And once you mess with their money, don't be surprised if the boogeyman don't come out. They'll stop at your house, right? They'll reach out to you on social media, right? I've had people say to me, hey, man, I know you're on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. They could AT&T you. That's what I call it.
Uh-huh.
AT&T, reach out and touch you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm making $20 an hour. Is it worth getting killed?
I would say not.
Is it worth getting paralyzed where you can't pick up your kids? But people do it every day because what else is going on? You know what I mean? I liked it because it gave you that 28 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Whenever it happened. Like, I live 2 hours at a time. If I'm still alive between 2 and 4, 4 and 6, 6 to 8, we're cool.
You're doing good.
Right.
Yeah. Know?
So that part of me is past. Now I'm doing the mailroom thing. So I'm doing that. Still fishing for birds. You know, springtime. You ever fish for birds?
No.
Well, you're a fisherman, right?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Put a little noose out, fishing line, bread in there, reeling around the neighborhood type stuff. You ever did that shit when you were a kid?
Fishing for birds?
Yeah.
This is like a caveman thing or something where you put a box with a stick and pull it.
You ever have rock fights when you were a kid?
With yeah.
Garbage can lids and shit?
Oh, yeah.
It's no different than that.
Okay. Fishing for birds. When do you fish for birds? This is going on down the street. This is going on next door to me?
Yeah. We do that. Fishing for birds. Got to do it. You got to be eccentric. You know what I do? Sometimes I'll take the backpack blower. 3 or 4 in the morning, I might come down to your house some night and you'll hear it.
Oh, yeah.
I do it down the street toward the creek just to change the game up. You know what I mean? You got to change the game up, man. It is what it is. So I think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Because I'm past the chronological window of that. I can still balance my checkbook.
Okay.
All right. So I'm
cool. That's a plus.
Right. I'm in a good position. I'm not in a bad spot. You know, I'm retired, I'm working. The mask good.
Yeah.
My kids are cool.
Yeah.
My mom and dad are cool. The people that I care about the most, because that's what it's about. It's about the older you get, you got to value friendships.
Right.
People don't do that no more.
Right.
They don't say, and you know me, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'll tell you, hey, dude, you're important to me. Now I might say, you got that $10 you owe me?
Right.
I'm known for that too.
Right.
I mean,
right.
When I'm doing business, I've called people at the hospital and says, you owe me some money.
Yeah.
I heard you ain't doing no good.
Right.
So when you owe, you owe. You got to pay.
Yeah, hey, well, that's like the prison thing, right? Hey, same thing. Don't mess with my money flow.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I can't help it. Sorry about your luck that you're in a hospital, but, you know.
It's just like in your own professional life. You did this for a long period of time, and then the brakes got put on.
Yeah.
And you had to reroute.
Yeah.
And reinvent.
Right.
Freddy. Didn't you have to reinvent Freddy?
Yes.
We're constantly reinventing ourselves.
Yeah, you know, you really do. You really do. But I think the next time that I reinvent, it is done for good. It is retirement time,
right.
You know.
And I hope you get there.
But yeah, I do too. But, you know, like you say, knock on wood, man. You don't know. 2 hours at a time. That's even right. You know what? Even 2 hours at a time might be a little long.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about it, because especially when you get to our age, man, I mean, you know, I was at a funeral for a buddy of mine today, a guy named Muttley. A lot of people in the motorcycle motorcycle crew know him. Michael Brosman, yeah. Muttley, one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. Right. One of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. And, you know, I mean, this year we lost a lot of friends, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because you start out, not to put a damper on this, but since we're heading in that direction, I mean, you know, you could wake up in the morning and all of a sudden you got a pain in your side.
Yep.
And 6 months later, you're gone.
Everybody.
You know, you just don't know. And especially the older you get, you know, it's like, hey, wait a minute, something didn't feel right today or whatever.
My pops is 82.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still running around on his bicycle, still jogging a little bit. But he says, hey. Me today, you tomorrow.
Yep.
You today, me tomorrow.
Yep.
It's part of the food chain, man. Right? That's why, like, Joey seems like he celebrates life every day.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he's got it going on.
So he found his niche. He found
yep.
his spot.
Oh, yeah.
What people don't understand, Like, I know Joey, when he was a young dude, just grinded, and he never stopped grinding. So, and he was never disrespectful to people.
No, nope.
He was always polite and respectful to people. And that's that pays off in the long run.
Oh, I think so.
Be decent with people as much as you're capable of. Right. But when you got to be hostile or be able to be hostile.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing what we do.
Yeah. So what else, you know, what else could you talk about with the prison? Because people, I think, are fascinated by prisons.
Culture, man. It is. People have no clue of it's like a little city.
Mm-hmm.
You got a rec yard going, and you got a chow hall going, and you got housing units going on, and you got dudes going out to the library and to the chapel, and everything that happens in the prison, we control their movement. Because if this guy gets with that guy, bad stuff's going to happen. Like, these guys ain't there because they're singing in the choir
right
on Sundays. So control their movement, and it helps alleviate a lot of problems.
Now, what about people that make a stupid mistake and wind up there?
It happens.
You know, so what happens in a case some young guy does something stupid or...
You know what? That's why they have like the Ohio Innocence Project. I know dudes that have been locked down for 25 years. All the documentation says he was not the shooter, but he got convicted. And there's an old saying, it's about conviction rates.
Uh-huh.
Filling beds.
Mm-hmm.
And once a guy goes to prison, it's really hard to get out because they'll put in for this appeal. They'll solicit this lawyer to represent him. That's not really just wants to get that $3,000.
Right. Right.
And then they got to wait another 2 years to refile for another review. And then they look at their institutional record and say, if a guy's going up for parole and he's been down 30 years and he's like, I think I got a good shot at parole, right? Something as small as, he's got one pair of extra socks that he shouldn't have. If I write him a ticket on that, the parole board may say failure to follow institutional rules, which means we don't care what that rule is. You didn't follow it. We're flopping you. You're staying another 3 years. Then we'll talk to you again. So be that guy that day, right?
Yeah.
That goes across the street for a video conference
for
a parole hearing. But I'm not advocating. I'm simply saying, there's a culture. Some guys make it out. A lot of guys don't. Like the young dudes I talked to guys that they might have met a stripper. Didn't know she was 17. Well, once grandma finds out about it, because she stays with grandma,
and right,
grandma says, oh, we're getting him. He's going down on a rape case. If you're going down on a rape case, now you're in a rape case. Don't matter that it was a 17-year-old, you weren't really foul,
mm-hmm.
you weren't smart. Because he didn't ask her for a driver's license or whatever,
right?
So now you're in there with all these other knuckleheads, that have done really bad stuff.
Yeah, that's the kind of people that I'm talking about. Like, you get mixed up in something like that. Maybe somebody lied to you, or maybe you were just drunk and you did something stupid one time. You're not a hardened criminal. You're not out there on the streets.
I've seen a lot of them dudes where they're getting 10 years, 15 years on involuntary vehicular homicide. They made a bad choice that night, and it caused the death of somebody else. But then now they're in the aquarium with people that are like, hey, those boots, take them off. They're not yours no more. They're mine. And, oh, you got a problem with that? Right? We'll elevate it.
Wow.
So day to day, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a food chain. You got to have small fish, big fish.
Now, I watch all these shows, like The First 48 and all that kind of stuff. Now, when I see some of these people that commit these crimes and these murders and stuff over something really stupid, and they're acting like badasses going to jail and stuff, are these people, do they ever show remorse? Is there ever a moment where these people say, damn, did I screw up? How stupid could I be? I shot some guy for a bag of weed now I'm sitting in here and my whole life's ruined.
I've never, I try not to be people's therapist
because
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I'll listen for a minute, but I'm a squirrel. So my history is always surrounded with gang stuff.
Right.
So if you're a squirrel, you want to hear, you grew up where? Well, let me know what group they were with.
Yeah.
What gang they were with.
Yeah.
But do guys say, I did this, I made a mistake? Yeah. But not too much.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're day to day, hour to hour. They're waiting to see, what am I eating next? You know what I mean? And I'm afraid to go to the chow hall, because if I go to the chow hall, I know that block next door is going. And there's a dude that already put the word out. When he sees me, I'm getting smashed out. All right. So wrong place, wrong time. It's another car crash. That's life. Car crashes. I wrecked every car truck I ran in my life. Almost wanted to. Every quarter, people were like, I ain't going out with you, dude. You total shit.
Well, with the carjacking, you had that nice Jeep. You had that badass Jeep, man.
You know what? But now I got a badass Jeep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's going to work out in my favor.
You know what's funny? Yeah. See, I'm a Jeep guy too. You know, I got that Renegade, right? And it's so funny because all my buddies that are, you know, real Jeep guys, you know, and I always like if there's like something going on, I'll always pull up next to them, you know, and say, hey, is this where the Jeep guys are hanging out at here? You know, and they're going, that's like a Kia Soul right there. We're waiting for the hamster to jump out. What are you talking about?
I bought a bunch of little yellow ducks, rubber duckies.
Uh-huh.
And there's a thing now in the Jeep world. Or you'll duck another Jeep guy that's got a nice Jeep.
Yeah.
Put it on their passenger side.
Yeah. I get that all the time when they see that Renegade. They love it. You know, they're like, boy, that's a badass Jeep.
If you walk up to somebody's vehicle in today's age, I don't care if it's just a little.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Bad shit could happen to you.
You know, that's why I see some of this stuff now on all these TikTok videos and stuff. I've been addicted to that here lately.
I want to be on TikTok.
You are a TikToker. You have what it takes to be a TikToker.
You know what I want to do? I want to do TED Talk.
Okay.
There's something there in Youngstown? I'm putting something together. They came to Youngstown a couple years ago. TED Talks at Stambaugh. You ever see TED Talks?
No.
You need to Google TED Talks.
TED Talks. What do they do?
They're professional orators.
Uh-huh.
So They'll solicit people. Hey, you want to be on TED Talk?
Yeah.
And they'll show you how to go through the process. And then it's you on stage and you got 10 minutes to talk about whatever you're going to talk about.
How come I was never involved in that?
You need to look.
Well, I do TED Talk every day.
When Joey was a young guy, when I was a young guy, we were blogging before blogging was.
Oh yeah. Hoax.com was one of the first.
I think Joey bought that for me.
Uh-huh.
$50. But
yeah,
time passed, you lose it.
Yeah.
I lost it. I don't own the rights to
Hoax.com, man. That was some wild stuff going on there. That was way before. I still might have a Hoax.com shirt somewhere.
I take them to the baseball stadium and pass them out there when we were doing the Voodoo Man.
But anyway, some of this stuff that you see on TikTok, I'm surprised that some people haven't been killed yet or shot yet, or you know, the way that they screw with some of these people. Like, you know, they'll go up to him on the street and they're playing a prank. They got this one guy, he sneaks up on people and puts a bucket on their head. And then he runs around the corner and changes his shirt or something real quick. And I just watch it. I go, one day this guy's going to get the wrong person.
Oh, yeah.
Or these guys will be in like Walmart and they'll walk up behind like some guy and then like breathe in their ear or something. Yeah. I'll tell you, something bad is going to happen with those sooner or later.
I think so, too.
Or you see these people that want to impress people and they'll stand out in front of their car. They'll have this badass car and then the guy will be standing out there with a couple of girls taking pictures and stuff. I'm sitting there going, that doesn't seem like a good idea to me. Yeah,
there's a lot of bad ideas out there.
Or and then another one they have out there now is like this guy will go up to some people that have like these crazy cars and say, hey, man, what do you do for a living? Boy, you want to set some people off real quick.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of these guys look like gangbangers. You could tell they're drug dealers and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think I would do that to get a laugh.
It's the old mind your own business.
Yeah.
But people are stupid. Just like, who were the crazy guys on HBO? Stevie.
Oh, Jackass. Yeah. Steve-O.
You were doing crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The car lakes.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Right.
Remember we did that thing with, we went to a laundromat. And I got stuck in that dryer,
right?
And it wouldn't stop.
Yes,
we were going for like the record for consecutive spins in a commercial dryer,
right?
And it was like 90 something. I'm like getting sick in this dryer. It's hot as hell, and you guys are like, "We can't shut it off, Hoax," right? And I'm like, "Oh Jesus!" But that's my life. You know what I mean?
Oh, Viking Jim is checking in. Vike, we were waiting for you, man.
Do I know any of these guys?
Oh, Viking Jim is on there now. Viking Jim and Joe are going back and forth.
Vike's a legend.
Yeah, he is.
Come by and see me sometime, 7 to 9 p.m.
Yeah, we have to get Vike down here. Next show, me, you, and Vike will do it. We'll get a driver, and we'll bust out the Crown Vanilla.
Oh, yeah. I almost brought some tonight.
Yeah.
But I only had a little bit left.
Yeah.
And if I'd have got pulled over, and they see
they think you drank the whole bottle.
Yeah. There's an open container in here. You're going to jail, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Mahoning County.
No, I just driving down here.
Lawyers and shit.
Yeah,
it's hard enough to get a hold of my shrink. How am I going to get a hold of my lawyer?
Right.
I got to call my shrink at a certain time every day because he likes to drink.
Yeah.
So if I catch him after like 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
He ain't.
No, maybe he's going to, maybe he's going to help you out. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe you'll get the real advice there. Maybe you'll get the real scoop that you need. Maybe that's the problem.
I told my shrink recently, I said, because he ain't looking so good health-wise.
Yeah.
I'm like, doc, I said, I need a backup. He's like, for what? I go, you ain't looking real good, dude. I said, if you die today, who am I talking to tomorrow? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You can only self-talk so much.
Right.
Like, there's things going on up there. Right? There's. You ever notice I talk about myself in third person?
Right. The Hoags. The Hoags. Well, because the Hoags is the Hoags. It
Prince
just is.
Prince,
right. Madonna. Right.
They go by one name, one name only.
Yep.
It is Hoags. It is.
And people know you by that. And if you refer to yourself as the Hoags, they get it. They don't sit there and say, you know, some people could pull that off and other people can't. You're one of the people that can. Yeah. Now, if I just start going, hey, Fast Freddy says, you'd be like that guy on Seinfeld. Remember Jimmy?
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, yeah. Remember Jimmy on Seinfeld? That's how you would be. You'd either come across that you could pull it off. You know, it's like The Rock. The Rock was always able, even through wrestling, to pull that off.
Yep.
He could always refer to himself as The Rock.
Yep.
And it seemed natural. It fit. It didn't seem like he was forcing anything, or it didn't seem weird.
Joey's going to show me how to do this podcast stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I know you probably know how to do it too, right? Well, this is your podcast.
No, yeah, I'm just...
is this a podcast?
Yeah, this is a podcast.
So this is your podcast.
Yeah.
I want to do my podcast.
Oh, you would be off the hook.
I want to figure it out.
You would be off the charts.
Because there's always something going on.
Right.
The content is always available.
Sure.
You know it says content unavailable?
Right.
I've never seen that.
No.
How could there not be unavailable content? What's content? Neurological traffic. People are listening to this are going to be like, where'd you get this dude? He's whacked out. But you know this isn't pre-orchestrated.
No.
Like my shit is loose.
Right.
But it ain't loose all the way, which makes it what? The highest level of art. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm doing things that people wish they could do. Right? Because that's how I wiggle. Right? Wiggle sometimes left, right? Sometimes you eat the bear. I told you sometimes the bear eats you. But you know what? I care about people. I'm nice to people within reason. I don't wish any bad on anybody, but I wish less good on some than others.
Right.
What's that mean? That means you can go kick rocks. Okay? If I had to donate blood to you on a bad day,
might not happen.
I'm not might.
It
I'm,
even gets back to, hey, you might be in the hospital, but if you owe me that money,
right?
You know,
ain't helping you, dude.
Yeah.
Because it's all about character.
Yeah. Right?
Period. That's why you're a legend. Okay. Everybody loves you. Period. I ain't met one person that said, man, I don't like that dude.
No, there's probably a few out there somewhere. Where? I don't know.
We'll find them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So who trims your beard? Do you trim that all yourself?
You know what I got?
What?
I got, there's a barber shop at the prison.
Uh-huh.
And instead of going on the street,
yeah,
$15 plus a tip.
Yeah,
you buy a haircut ticket for $1.
Really?
So once a week. Dude, been down for 20 some years.
Uh huh.
Good. As far as rehabilitation, it seems like he's one of the guys that definitely got to where he needed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, so I'll go there once a week and get trimmed. But
yeah, you know, you got that pretty tight and pretty even and pretty level.
Well, I don't. He's got to square away.
Yeah.
Once a week.
Okay. So you don't do that yourself, though. No. See, me, that's why I just let this thing grow. I just trimmed this down a little bit the other day.
You look like a hardcore biker, Fred.
It's like, you could be
a hardcore biker. And like, I've seen you on your bike. You know, I'm like a dude on an Indian just chilling out, hoping I don't crash.
I don't know if there's something I want to do with this. I trimmed the. I took about an inch or so off. Do I want to
put the wax in there?
No.
You got to buy that balm, that wax.
Yeah, yeah.
Form it.
Yeah, for a while there was all kinds of beard products out there.
Oh yeah.
You know. So you got a guy in a prison that does that. Maybe I have to swing by.
Yeah. It's a good route. They don't let anybody off the street get that done though.
Yeah. Now they got some good barbers out there, you know, because barbers nowadays.
They go to barber school. There's, uh-huh. there's a prison somewhere in Ohio that. Well, they'll get certified to be a regular barber.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, barbers nowadays, they are making a killing.
Barbers always made money. You know why? Because they counted towels. So for, you know, tax purposes,
mm-hmm.
there's just, how many towels did I have today? There's 20 on the floor, but I only see 10.
Yeah. mean? Right.
That's why you see him living in nice houses. His kids are going to Notre Dame, et cetera, et cetera. That's right. How that shit works.
All cash.
Everybody's like that.
Yeah.
Everybody's cutting corners. You got to cut corners.
But like the barbers today, you know, I grew up in the 70s. I still got the Bob Seger 1970 type look going on and stuff, you know. And it's like, you know, that was the whole thing growing up, you know, 60s Beatles. Once the Beatles come out, I said, I'm never getting my hair cut again.
Barbers,
you know,
like funeral directors, though. And they hate each other. Just like the funeral guys in town. If they look through the obituaries, right? Hoags is being shown at this funeral home. Those other guys are like, that motherfucker.
I thought we were tight. I thought I had this one. You know what? I had my Florida vacation banking on this asshole coming in, you know. And look what he does.
Exactly.
And he went to the other guy.
Yeah. What the hell? They hate each other. And they
and you know, did you ever see the work that guy does? I thought Hoag's head was more on the ball than to go to that guy. Yeah. He probably looks like a mess.
I know.
I would have laid him out looking really good.
Somebody's got to take care of it at the end, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean these barbers now. I mean, like getting an expensive haircut for these kids. Like my son, they got to get the you know, it's got to be shaved and the side got to be shaved and there got to be a piece hanging down here and all this stuff. It's like, you know, and I'm like, oh, why don't you get a haircut? I can't. You know what? I can't remember the last time I had a haircut.
A
really?
Like
oh yeah, you got a good bullshit rap going. That's one thing you need to keep your clientele. It's got to be interesting, and you got to have some interesting clientele in there. You know, I think that's why, like in these black neighborhoods, these black barbershops, I think some of them, it's the whole personality and the socialization that goes on there probably more than the haircut.
But now, you know, the last couple of big homicides in Cleveland were actually at barbershops.
Uh-huh.
So going back to the mafia days.
Yeah.
When guys were getting killed in barbershops.
Right.
Because dudes laid back getting a shave.
Yeah.
Come, you know, he's vulnerable, man.
Yeah.
You know I mean? So it's a dicey place. If I'm a barber now, I'd have a gun on me when I was cutting hair.
That's why they used to say what in Youngstown, you know, in Youngstown, a barber would charge you $3 for a shave and $4 if you want him to start your car.
Yeah, no shit. And it was. I think they just came out with a new book on organized crime in the Mahoning Valley.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
tell you, I was watching a couple of videos the other day. I come across a real good one. I posted it on my Facebook page. And man, it was a documentary, and it was from like maybe 2014, but it still had Don Hannah in there and, you know, Gaines and everything.
Those things, because I've seen quite a few old timers come through the system.
Yeah.
And I'm not mentioning no names,
mm-hmm.
but I have met some of them dudes
along
the way. And I'm an historian, so I'm going to listen. Just like I'm listening to the Bloods and the Crips and the Gangs of Disciples and the Aryan Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to guys because it's all puzzle. It's all squirrel shit.
Right.
It builds stuff. What's going on here? What's going on there?
Yeah.
But those organized crime guys that I have met, like sometimes they want to, they'll stand next to you and talk to you all day long.
Yeah.
And you got to say, hey, man, I got to go piss.
Right.
Which means I'm done talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Before I say something stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never say, hey, you know, so-and-so. So-and-so might have did some bad shit to that dude.
Yeah.
And now I just said I knew him. What's coming my way?
Right, you know right. Saying? Yeah.
Everything got a consequence, right? When I leave here tonight and go get in that Jeep, the ride home, it's a consequence. Maybe I'll make it, maybe I won't. I should be okay, statistically. Then I'll have a couple.
But then, look what happened though. You got carjacked, so you can't even say that.
You know what, though? It kind of fits my personality, though. So that extreme level of violence.
Yeah.
Orchestrated at, it kind of fits my demo. It's like, what's next? I got assaulted into prison, right? Which is one time ain't bad. They say average COs get assaulted at least 3 times in their career.
Really?
Yeah, because you're dealing with a population that they're hostile. And they're going to blame you for whatever that problem might be.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful. I try to be careful who you poke. You poke that bear the wrong way just for shits and giggles. That bear might come get you, or it might send somebody else to come get you.
Right.
You don't even see it coming. So I'm trying to preserve myself right now.
Yeah.
That's why.
That's always a good idea. That's a good philosophy there.
Hang on.
You got to have that balance. You got to pull down your pants and slide on the ice, but yet by the same token, you got to, you know,
that's why
make sure you don't fall through the ice.
When people say, I don't see you around, Hoax, how come you're not out and about no more? And I'm like, I guess you don't go to the bank, and I guess you don't go to the gym. That's where I fucking go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got to get out and do some motorcycle riding this year. I've been trying to get you to go out.
I don't mind. A couple times. You see me out there.
Yeah.
I look good on that bike, though.
Yeah, yeah, you do. You got a nice Indian.
Right.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that. I'm going to stay with that.
Yeah.
Because they say there's two types of motorcycle riders. You know what that is, right?
What's that?
People that have wrecked.
Yeah.
People that will wreck.
Yeah.
So I've already laid down a bike. I know you had a bad ride.
Yeah.
So you've already been through the rolling through the...
Yeah.
You know, that neck tweaks just a little bit and it's lights out. You know what I'm saying? When I rolled, when I did mine, man, I'm rolling down the road and I'm thinking, it's so slow.
Yeah.
And I had the helmet on and I'm like, the bike's way down there.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And I'm like, shit.
And then, but then you jump up because the adrenaline's going. You want to be like, oh, I'm okay. And then the next thing you know, the ambulance pulls up and your knee is like,
I actually got out of there before anybody got the call.
Uh-huh.
So I was able to ride that bike home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool. Lesson learned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Really, I took a good tumble, man. And then the bike was on top of me. And
it's unsafe. Everybody out there's on their phones texting.
Oh yeah.
Gotta be looking all kinds of ways. So are you really enjoying riding? Maybe 80% of the time.
Yeah.
But there's 20% of the time. You're just like,
yeah, that's the thing about motorcycle riding is when you're doing it, it is like the most fun thing that you could possibly be doing. To me, anyways. Yeah. When I'm riding, I'm thinking, this is the most. And then it's the next thing you're thinking, boy, I could get killed on this in the next second. Yeah, you know, it's the most fun and the most dangerous thing that you could be doing at the same time.
Never. No ride is the same. No two rides are the same. You ever come back from a ride and physically you might have did some stupid shit and your body didn't react to it well and you might not have took a turn real well. It was a weak turn. But then next day you're in the same road, same turn.
And you're just like, you're like a part of the road. Yeah, you're just like, it's like the motorcycle is part of the road and you're just weaving down there, taking it right through there. And it's like, wow, that was a smooth ride there, man. Boy, I had it going on today, you know?
And that, as long as I still get that.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Then yeah.
I'll keep riding.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to Sturgis. I'm not going too far.
Yeah.
So you like doing that shit.
We'll go to, you know, we got a good bunch of guys that.
Like I can go up to the winery.
Yeah.
They do a lot of bike stuff up there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, a good place to go is Cougar Bob's is a fun place in Tyonesta. That might be a little twisty and turny for you.
I mean, you know, I've heard bad stories about Dead Man's Curve type shit.
You know,
guys are getting killed.
Foxburg is nice. Yeah.
I think to be a good rider, it's like taking CPR. If you take CPR on a Monday, you might use it Tuesday and not know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
So it takes a few times.
Yeah.
Of learning CPR to say, okay, I got this.
I got
it now.
Yeah. No, you got to be comfortable.
Right.
You got to be comfortable. You know,
the only way you get that is having your ass in the seat. So. We make it till springtime, we'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, tomorrow's not promised to nobody. That is one of the truest things that was ever spoken.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you want to talk about gospel truth? Yep. That is the gospel truth. Tomorrow's not promised to anybody. You know, you could wake up tomorrow and never know.
The wife sold that bike.
Uh-huh.
You're dead.
Yeah.
So she said, what am I going to do with that bike? Yeah. What am I going to do with that Glock? What am I going to do with that AR-15? So we acquire all this cool shit.
Yeah.
But are we taking it with us?
No.
Nope.
No.
I spent all this money on tattoo work. I got thousands of dollars on me, right?
Well, you'll take that with you, though. That'll cremated. Always be there.
Cremated.
You know.
So why would I spend all this money and get cremated?
We didn't need. Oh, you're getting cremated. What do you got on there? Ever after? What's ever after?
Ever afters means. Where's that at?
Right there.
Because I never had it happily.
Oh, okay.
So if I never had happily, where am I left?
Ever after. Yeah. Now you have like a unique collection of tattoos but they all have a meaning behind
it. Guinness Beer, 1759.
What's that?
Guinness Beer. That's when it came out.
Oh, okay. 1759 is Guinness Beer. Okay.
My Guinness moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love Guinness, man.
1922 was Copenhagen. Mentia moderata means controlled insanity.
Okay. So, well, that's for your job.
An action word. That's a gang tattoo. D2 is a small bag of M&Ms out of the vending machine.
D2.
E7 is a small cup of coffee. Because what happened in the prison, I'm real ritualistic.
Uh-huh.
So when I go into work, I hit the button, D2, I get my M&Ms, and I would actually profile gang members by putting the M&Ms out, the colors, blue, red. They'd walk by and say, red's dead. Right?
Yeah.
So they're telling on themselves, I'm a Crip. Right? Or be true to blue. Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, it is what it is. Sometimes I used to do is, I would let them know that I knew everything that was going on in the prison. And then I said, I could tell you how many M&Ms are in this bag. And they're like, man, you can't. You don't know how many M's are in there. I said, I'm like Miss Cleo. Remember her?
Miss Cleo.
She was a psychic.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't know how many M&Ms are in there, but I pre-counted them, put them back in the bag,
yeah,
at the corner, open them from the opposite side. I'd say, how many are in the bag? You'd say 17. I'd say, how many are in the bag? He'd say 15. And I'd say 19. And then I'd dump the bag, put them in my hat, and they'd be like, 19? How do you know? I said, I see it all, dude. I know what you're doing over there. I know what he's doing. Right? It's like, I'm like, you know, the baseball guy that hits all the home runs.
Yeah.
They're like, Hopes, how do you see all this shit in prison? You catch stuff nobody else catches, right? I'm like, it's like hitting home runs. The ball got so big, I couldn't help but hit it. It was like a volleyball. It's like a beach ball, right? So you get good. When you get so good at something, it's no longer a job. It's a craft. And that's three things that we probably all experienced.
Right.
You got so good at what you were doing, it became a craft. Joey got so good at what he was doing, it became a craft. It's no longer even a job.
Right.
Right? So right. You go there because you like doing it. And you know what? I don't mind it. Sometimes I can influence somebody to make a better choice for 20 minutes so that dude don't get hurt. Our people don't get hurt.
Right.
Because that's what happens.
Uh-huh.
So if you could reroute that traffic and give somebody an option sometime.
Maybe take their mind off of anything that they're thinking about doing or is going to make them snap in the next 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
And you know, so if it's the counting of the M&Ms and guessing how many M&Ms are in the bag, if that diffused something in their brain,
it's a TV show,
right?
I'd go out and do every Saturday morning at 6:30, they'd open the doors and I'd go in the middle of the block and I'd do my Tai Chi, but I wasn't doing Tai Chi, but it looked like what, you know, the guy from the movie with the grenade on his thing. So I'm out there doing all this crazy shit and they're like, what's up with that dude? Am I creating space?
Yeah,
not like I ain't talking to that dude.
It yeah,
made some space,
right?
Right. Or I'd stand there in the block and it looked like I was looking at my hand. But am I really looking at my hand? No, I'm looking at the block. What do they see? This crazy dude looking at his hand. When I'm doing Tai Chi, what am I actually doing? I'm just stretching because I'm an old dude.
Yeah.
But I look, and then I'm sniffing a marker, a Sharpie. So they're like, I'm not playing with that dude.
Yeah.
Because even though he's a little guy. Right.
Yeah. Something ain't right.
Yeah. Things can happen.
Yeah. Quickly. Right.
So don't got to go your way just because you're 6'2", 195 pounds.
Right. 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 What's probably the biggest misconception that people have about prison? What's the biggest misconception?
It used to be where people drove by prisons and they didn't know anything about it. And now because of TV and social media and whatever and cell phones, because there's inmates filming themselves right now inside the joint, putting shit on social media, et cetera, et cetera. It's a dysfunctional environment. And people really look the other way and they're like, you see, even being a state employee, people were like, oh, he makes good money. He's got good benefits. Go do that for 8 hours. And then they come up to you and say, oh, you're going to work an additional shift now because we don't have enough staff. So now you're stuck. And now you're working third shift. And the first thing you do when you're working third shift is check your doors. Well, you check a door, once in a while, them doors are open. Because some of those guys know how to open those doors from the inside. And people are like, no, there ain't no way. That's a steel fortress, right? There's no way they're coming out of there. If I guarantee you, I've seen it. If a dude wants out, he's coming out. So it is what it is. You just want a little cooperation, you know, for a period of time.
How about these drones now with people trying to smuggle stuff in with drones?
They're flying religiously. And they're dropping and they're making attempts, but it's a reflection of the staff because they're really, really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that because I do that.
Yeah.
I'm saying they're really good at what they do inside there. Monitoring, the intel, they find out different things. You know, they stay ahead of the horse. You got to stay ahead of stuff. You stay ahead of stuff, you know when it's coming sometimes.
Yeah.
But is the effort there? Every day. I've seen guys with glass eyes dump their eye with the dope in it and then put another eye in.
No kidding.
More shit with your shoes or watches.
Uh-huh.
You know, where the face of a watch, you could take the watch off.
Yeah.
The face off.
Yeah.
Put the dope in there, but have a backup watch. So you give your guy on a visit the watch with the dope in it and then put your other one on. They're innovative. They're MacGyver. There's so many MacGyvers in there.
It's really? Hey, you know, you'd think if they would probably have applied themselves. Do you see people like that in there that you just think, if you would have applied yourself and used this knowledge or this street hustle that you have or whatever, if you would have applied that in a business world or whatever, you might have been a millionaire. You wouldn't be sitting in here.
There's a guy that does a podcast now that was down in San Quentin for like 10 years. Big boy, ripped out. And he's a motivational speaker now. He helps people set up businesses. Because in essence, the Marine Corps, what Joey's doing, what you're doing, what they're doing in the joint, they're building businesses. And it's not against the law to do that. The Marine Corps is the same way. You got to live by certain principles.
Right.
But once those principles turn left to right and they turn criminal and they're harming people physically, I mean, all bets are off.
Yeah.
There's some cunning, devious people inside those walls. And they got all day to think about how they're going to take this rubber band or that small item and make it into something to do something.
To somebody somewhere along the way.
It is what it is. But I guess when you put people down like that, you know, there's with laws.
And
hey, man.
And then this gets back to you with the M&Ms. If you could keep their mind off of that for 20 minutes, whatever that was that they were going to do with that thing today, maybe it delayed it until tomorrow.
I'm a big fan. The more programs you offer, the better off you are for that short day to get through that day.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen guys go to programs, come out of that program and go whack out on some illicit drug. So they just left an NA program or an NA program.
Just went to it to hang out, get away from the grind or whatever.
They get points for going. Their name's on there. It might help them get a little bit of time off their sentence in the big picture.
Yeah.
You know, if they put in for an early release or something.
Yeah.
They say, hey, I guess you attended these meetings all these times. We're going to factor that in. So, but I'm not in that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the custody part of the game.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the mailroom part of the game. Now, note too, because obviously we're doing this podcast, I'm not talking about specific stuff.
Right.
So it's not specific to where I work, what place I work.
Right.
I've worked at different prisons. I've been to different prisons.
Right.
So
right.
You can cluster them all.
Yeah.
In the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you know what you could say, what you can't say. You've been there long enough. You know, I mean, there are some things you can say. And of course, there are some things that are just off limits.
I'm not gonna ever talk about
that. Yeah. Right.
Period.
Until you retire and then you get your own podcast and you take it to the next level and then you start making some money and pay me, you're going to have to pay to hear the good inside scoop.
That's why when I talk about prison, I'm only talking about like this much, right? I didn't even open the door.
So when you watch all these different movies and Orange is the New Black and all that kind of stuff, what are the most realistic prison movies you see out there or TV shows?
I went back to work a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
I called New York and was trying to get on lock. What is it called? Locked up,
yeah.
You go in or 60 days,
yeah.
I tried to get on that, and I almost had an interview, but I'm like doing the math,
yeah.
And they make good money, but they're only doing so many episodes,
yeah.
So,
yeah, no, I never really ever figured out what that show was all about.
You go, they put a mole in there to lock down,
yeah.
That may be a cop or whatever the hell he does,
yeah.
They go target what they're targeting, you know.
But how do they film it like that? I mean, you got to have mics and everything. How do they film that? How do they get the camera angles and things like that?
A lot of those guys, they got to pull out because their safety becomes a risk factor because you got to play that guy.
Yeah.
Right. For that 60 days.
Yeah.
Can you play the bad guy for 60 days?
I don't think so.
Because sometimes, you know, everybody got a hustle in the joint. So if I go in there, what's my hustle going to be? Am I doing gambling? Am I doing porn? Am I doing what? What's wine, prison wine? I got to get into something.
Yeah.
If I don't get into nothing, how come you don't do nothing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like Donnie Brasco.
Right.
You know, so how do you do that stuff? How do you keep that story straight? But you know what? Some of those guys, they just let their guard down. Once you can get their confidence, like, I mean, look at Donnie Brasco, man. I mean, that guy,
you get exposed by association.
Yeah.
So like I would tell dudes that I locked down on my vacation at different joints around the country to catch bad staff.
Yeah.
I'll go in there and just seal the deal. And me having a conversation with somebody, letting them know, hey, Oaks, where you been? I might have been on vacation for 10 days.
Yeah.
But I told him what? Oh, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I was locked down in another joint outside of Ohio. Now, could I lock down in Ohio at another joint? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because too many people move around from prison to prison to prison.
Right.
And they all, we heard about you.
Yeah.
And then what? It ain't no good for me.
Yeah.
After that. So yeah. I'm going to ride the wave for a while. You know what I mean? That's going to do some cool shit.
Yeah.
He went on a train ride. He just went on a great trip to Cape Canaveral.
Yeah.
I went to go see some Marine buddies in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Because we talked about guys that, because if it weren't for Facebook, we would have never hooked back up.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 10 of us, plus our old commanding officer was there.
Oh, that had to be a blast, man.
Oh, my God. It was fun in the sun.
Yeah.
Right down to Camp Lejeune, doing a little whiskey sipping.
Uh-huh.
Telling some stories.
Yeah.
So, but we're old now, so we can't go as hard as we used to.
Right. But you're still going. You know.
A buddy of mine once said, "Hoax, you got any regrets?" And right away I said, "We could have went faster." And then that reminds you that we were doing some cool shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These kids today.
Oh, it is. I mean, when I look back, I'll tell you, I mean, we used to have so much fun all the way back from high school, even little kids, man. We had so much freedom and we would do so much stuff. I mean, it was.
I know that girl, Christine.
Yeah. She says, whenever Hoax rides, I worry about his ability. I don't worry about his ability. I worry about other drivers. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She lives right down the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Her sons are big into baseball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know her husband.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. You know, yeah, Garth, man, he'd been in bands for years.
He was a hell of an athlete when he was a kid, too.
Really?
He was a hell of a baseball player. And as far as Noisy Mama, White Noise.
Oh, yeah.
The bands he was involved with was one back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They went and tried to, you know, cross over, get successful. They were close a couple
of times. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were knocking on the door, man.
The next Cinderella.
Oh, yeah.
Type shit.
Right.
But their ship never came in.
Yeah, I always see them, or I used to see them down at the well all the time. And
they're doing that now. I think they brought their band back.
Yeah.
And they're playing at Leon's and Howland, or they're playing different places. I think it was called Bad. What was it? Bad something.
Bad 18.
Yes. Bad 18.
Yeah.
I think they reinvented that, and all the old guys from the bands that got together and they play out sometimes for special events. Jerry Walters.
Yeah.
Was real big. Jerry never stopped playing.
No, those all them guys.
Back when Crest Bowl and Alley.
Oh yeah,
they were
Studio like, West, man. Studio that West. Used to be the place, man. Studio West used to just rock.
Well, you know they got a joint there. They're starting now in Warren, across from Taco Bell.
Yeah.
And a guy built an it's an underground heavy metal club.
Oh yeah.
They haven't opened it yet.
Uh huh.
And it's gonna probably be right next door. They're selling tacos out of a taco truck.
Okay.
Right now, and they're doing phenomenal.
Uh-huh.
On their sales.
Yeah. But
that's gonna be a heavy metal bar.
Oh, really? You know, there's a lot of good heavy metal bands out there. Well, you know,
what
like
venues are they playing? Where are they playing?
That's the thing. There's not too many places around that, you know.
Watch and see what happens in Warren. The guys
somebody's gotta take a chance on these bands. I mean, there's a following out there. It's a niche market, but if you could capture that. And I mean, you know, we had these guys on from this Battle of the Bands at the Lube this past summer, and they were all like metal bands. And but I'll tell you what, they were good. But where do they play? You know, where do you play? It's not like you can go play at, you know, the Ice House on Saturday night when the crowd is expecting to hear.
The dude in Warren that's facilitating that, his name is Deedle, Matt Deedle, and he's a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he's well liked in the Trumbull County / the area. So I'm sure that he's going to make a good run on that whole subculture, which is going to bring the old timers out.
Right.
Guys our age are going to be out there.
Yeah. Possibly. Oh, okay. Christina said that the band is called Not So Bad Company right now.
There you go. Not So Bad
Company. So there you go. Check them out. I see them posting stuff on there all the time.
I got to get out there and see them. I don't get out much.
Yeah.
I'm in my own little aquarium. I don't bother nobody. Don't bother me.
No. A little debriefing. Bust out that crown.
I'm insulated. I'll have a couple sippies.
Yeah.
I won't go too deep.
Right.
Because, you know, we all damage some brain cells along the way. You can't not be in that industry and not do a little damage.
Oh, exactly.
It's an acceptable level of fucked up.
Right.
I think.
As long as you don't go over the deep end.
I mean, you know me a long time.
Yeah.
And you probably can identify me as he's a little eccentric.
Yeah.
He's a left field sometimes.
Sure.
But
that's the way it is. Well, that's why you're on the podcast. If you're not, you don't get on.
You don't feel unsafe around me. You've never felt unsafe around me, right?
No.
But you've also said, I bet you I call Hoax up if I need something.
Yeah.
He'd be there for me.
Absolutely.
So that's what's important.
Yep.
Show up.
Well, what are you ready? You ready to wrap this thing up?
You know what, Freddie? I'm on your dime, buddy.
Okay. What else? Did we miss anything or anything else you...
Perpetual, man. We're living in perpetual.
You know, do we want to go? I mean, I could keep going all night. You know, it's just like...
We used to do this when we were young guys and we would just tape record ourselves. And most people didn't even know it. My dad did it one night.
Uh-huh.
And all the stories from the Marine Corps and the bad shit we did. Yeah, he got it all on tape.
What was your dad had a business idea that he was bouncing off of me the other day? A couple of weeks ago.
He keeps it close to the vest.
What the heck was it? I'm trying to think.
You think it might make a move, though? You think
it might have been.
You talked about it last time.
I think it might have been.
You're supposed to meet up with him again and discuss part two.
About people taping their own eulogies, I think.
Oh.
Something along those lines.
See, you know what I think would be a good gig? I want to be a professional eulogist. So I want to interview you before you die.
Right.
And because obviously you can't speak for yourself because you're dead.
Yeah.
And your family don't really know you, let's say.
Yeah.
Like, know you.
Yeah.
Like some intrinsic cool shit.
Right.
Well, I'll come in and speak on your behalf and give you 15 minutes of fame, 20 minutes of fame, because I've interviewed and talked to you extensively, and your people are going to pay me money.
Yeah.
To get that wisdom.
From yeah.
You. That makes me a what? Professional eulogist.
Yeah. Because you know what? Sometimes I do see, you know, funerals where you
nobody,
think.
Nobody's got nothing to say.
Yeah. Or the people that say it are just kind of like.
They're not good at it.
You know.
They're gonna be good at communicating.
Yeah, so yeah.
Bring a guy like me, and I'll
yeah, I could do that too. I could, absolutely. I could jump up there.
It's one above doing weddings.
Yeah,
anybody can go get a license to do weddings.
Right.
Get a license to do funerals.
Yeah, forget about DJ and weddings. Let me, you know, I don't have to bring any gear.
Right.
You don't have to play songs. No, you don't have to be there 4 or 5 hours.
You're gonna spend 20 minutes to 30 minutes.
Right. It's not like you're gonna be with the bride for weeks on end, and they're
an impact. They're gonna you know it, and they can see it forever.
Right.
And they can identify with it because you presented it in a way.
Right.
That makes it really.
Tough. And it's like, you know, okay, who do you want me to tell a joke about, or is there somebody here that maybe has a great story that you have a great story. Let's share your, you know, everybody's there to share their memories about the deceased. How about if the deceased was sharing his memory about you?
Exactly.
You know, now could you imagine if you get up there and you go, hey, and also Joe wanted to remind everybody about the time that him and Hoags
right.
went to the tattoo parlor. And Hoags decided that the speed of the ejaculation was 28 miles an hour, and he got it on his thing.
Exactly. And I'll do that. Anybody out there that wants to, I'll represent you in any eulogy. $149.95. That's
what are you charging? Like 150.
150. $149.95 puts me there. I'll interview your people. I'll have something really productive to say. Fill in that 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Right.
And how long you want me to go?
Right. I'll do up to 30 minutes.
And we'll for $1.50.
That's a good rate. That ain't bad. I got a guy right now training my dog.
Now, what about clothing? You're going to wear a suit, or are you just going to be casual, or what are you doing?
I'll talk to the family and say, hey, you know, you see me being coming in like this.
Yeah.
Depends on the venue.
Right. You know, yeah. The person. Yeah.
Whatever their wishes.
Right.
You know, I'm not coming in there, you know, in my jock strap.
Yeah. Unless.
You're paying double.
Right. Okay. So $300 for the jock.
I can get the jock strap on.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what we got to do.
Right. So, now that would be funny. What if the guy's last request was, I want Hoags to be in a jock strap? Maybe, you know what? Maybe, because maybe he doesn't really like these people, and maybe he wants to burn them one last time.
Right.
And then you come up there and you say, okay. Or maybe you start. Maybe you start in like, maybe you come up there with like an overcoat on or something, and you say, I am here. I'm Hoags. You give your whole little spiel about what you're doing and how the dearly departed. And then the next thing you know, you just take off the top coat and there you are in a jock strap, and you just have these people all feeling really uncomfortable, you know, because the guy couldn't stand these people anyways. And he just wanted to give you one last middle finger before he left.
That guy might tell me if you see so-and-so. Politely ask him to leave.
Yeah, and right.
Because you wrote the check, dude.
Right.
All right. I don't care who it is.
Hey, yeah.
Kick rocks. You're out.
All right, go ahead and give it a shot.
All right, well, listen, let's wrap things up here. Hoags had to go take a leak. We had a power outage here at the studio. All right, well, listen, let's wrap things up here. Hoags had to go take a leak.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed our show here at the studio.
We are back. This is our first show. All right, well, listen, let's wrap things up here. Hoags had to go take a leak.
Hopefully everybody enjoyed our show here.
We are back. All right, well, listen, let's wrap things up here. Hoags had to go take a leak.
Travel about the Amtrak.
That didn't kind of come across. All right, well, listen, let's wrap things up here. Hoags had to go take a leak. Travel about the Amtrak. All right, well, this is the rest of the industry.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us.